Welcome to the FemNation podcast, where we wholeheartedly believe women entrepreneurs can rise together. Success comes in many flavors. There are no secret strategies. Women entrepreneurs are rewriting history by defining success on their own terms. Hi, I'm White of Gannon, the down-to-earth chick with a different name. Entrepreneur and founder of the Female Entrepreneur Movement, our business is dedicated to helping women start and grow their businesses, increasing financial independence. Each week, join me for inspiring stories and powerful interviews of women entrepreneurs sharing their lessons to success to help you take your business to the next level. Now, let's go for it. Welcome to the FemNation podcast. Today, I get to interview a great friend of mine, Jennifer McNiven. I call her Jen. She goes by Jen too, so I'm not breaking any rules there. But she has Jennifer McNiven Photography, and she also authored a book called Mind, Body, Soulmate. And I want to first thank you for being on the podcast, Jen.
Thank you. I'm super excited to be here today. And just so everybody knows, it's my first one. So
yes. Ooh, very fun.
I'm podcast virgin.
I should play with the questions today. No, I'm just joking. They're all organic anyways. So let's start with the first though. How did you get into being an entrepreneur? Where did that start?
That's kind of an interesting question because it wasn't something that I had originally thought about doing in my life. I took the path of going into the corporate world. My background's physical therapy. I got out of physical therapy school and I ended up getting a job with medical device company with neurological rehab. And with a 12-year stint in doing that, I burnt out big time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And in 2004, I had started my own little side photography business. So I was kind of doing both things all the time. And when my corporate job ended, I actually left the country and ended up in Bali. And Bali was a unique place. I didn't intend to go there, but it just kind of magically happened that I booked a flight on a Friday and left on a Monday and didn't even know Bali was in Indonesia. And wow. I just packed up and I went and I took my camera with me. And I had been shooting weddings. I had been doing lots of family and maternity and babies. And I've been, you know, I was in the photography world for many, many years, but I never made it full time. I didn't think financially it was something that, you know, the artist can survive on. Mm-hmm. And when I was on my journey in Bali, I found that a lot of people needed photos for their business and branding. I'd worked with a lot of yoga instructors, a lot of coaches, a lot of suitcase entrepreneurs, you know, they're just, mm-hmm. they're traveling about. And I really found that I loved being able to showcase people who were using themselves as their brand. And it was just a niche that I kind of fell into. And I really, really, really love it. You know, I love not only getting people to, you know, step outside their comfort zone, express who they are, truly be seen, but to allow it to be seen in a way that it attracts their clients. So my entrepreneurship was kind of inadvertent. It wasn't a plan. I didn't really have like a plan to get out there. It
just, here's my roadmap.
Yeah, there was no roadmap. And, you know, somewhat to my detriment where, you know, roadmaps can be helpful, but I'm a Pisces and I go with the flow with everything in life. So that's how that started.
So what did you learn in your travels? What did your travels teach you as an entrepreneur? Because I'm sure at first in Bali, it wasn't the thought that I'm like you didn't wake up one day with a light bulb and say, I'm an entrepreneur now. I'm going to start my own business. What did that evolution look like?
Yeah. It was scary. It was really scary at first because, you know, the way that I grew up, money was always, it was almost like a fear, worry set or mindset that was always going on. And so, I did have that fear of like, can I do this? Will I make enough? Can I support myself? And it was a journey that I just slowly realized that I don't have to be making the money that I was making in the corporate world to consider myself successful. I didn't have to be doing that in a way that others can look at me and be like, oh, she is a real entrepreneur. Like there was a bit of a, I had a hard time actually considering myself an entrepreneur because I felt like I needed to have all the business skill sets and I didn't. And so what I had was my artistic skill set that people really valued and they appreciated it when they saw it. So entrepreneurship's been a bit of an interesting road. I'm still learning every day. I know I could be doing things a million times better, but I just kind of appreciate where it's brought me and the fact that I'm continuously growing. I felt like in a corporate job, you're told what to do. And I didn't feel the growth in that. And I felt really stagnant. And so there's a freedom in what I'm doing, but it also means that I'm doing a lot more. I'm doing all the things.
So how did you come to find that maybe you are lacking in some of the business, I'm putting up quote fingers, but the business skill set. So what was it that you were like, oh, I don't have that, that you felt inadequate about?
The financial aspects, I wasn't necessarily good with, all of the marketing aspect, the, just simple things like keeping a schedule with, and, you know, having emails go out. So it was all the task oriented behind the scenes. Like I'm really good at doing photos. I'm really good at interacting with people one-on-one. That's my strength. And that's my genius zone. And I felt like all the behind the scenes tactical, business, things that keep you afloat, you know, just all of the little things that you don't, you know, consider, taxes, you know, like, oh, wait, I'm a business. I have to do taxes differently. So it's been a big learning curve to not only to have to learn it because it's important, but want to learn it, you know, because I feel like I want to know what's going on in my business, where it's easy sometimes to close your eyes and just, you know, focus on the one aspect that is your zone of genius versus the other aspects.
Would you say that there was a kind of an internal argument or an internal struggle of letting go of having someone else do that? Or was that maybe held back by the financial aspect of your business not growing like you wanted it to?
Yeah, I think it was the latter. It was more, I didn't feel like I could afford to hire somebody to do all that work for me. And in hindsight, had I done that early on, I think my business would be at a much different place. So hiring a VA, and these are things I didn't even know about at the time.
That's the thing. That's the thing is you don't know that they existed or the way they existed either. So,
I thought that in some degree it made me look weak for not knowing how to do these things. Like I saw other photographers who basically had their shit together and I would look at that and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so far behind from, you know, they've got all of their marketing materials, the way that they schedule everything, the way that they send out the emails and updates and they have their folders and files and, you know, and I just looked at that and to some degree I wanted to freeze, you know, like I wanted to just ignore that all of that had to exist. And so, yeah, it took me a while to start to learn all of those things myself. And I'm at a place now where I am, you know, interested in getting a VA and have somebody help me with those things because it would take so much off of my plate and make me feel freer in continuing what my passions are. And sharing more with people versus worrying about all the little detail aspects that aren't my favorite.
Well, they're not your forte. I mean, that's right. So you didn't get into business to do that, the business of business. Mm-mm. You got into business to create.
Right.
So what is the biggest definition of success for you?
That's changed. Before, when I had my other job, it was the house, the car, the things, you know, feeling like I was financially secure, having a certain dollar number in the bank account. And over the years, I've done a lot of personal growth, a lot of healing, a lot of self-work, and that has changed my value of success. And I feel like being happier, being more grounded, having flexibility and freedom, being able to say no and yes when I want to. I photograph a lot of retreats, so people pay for me to go to really cool places, mm-hmm. and I get to photograph it while I'm there. And that's not something that you can do with a typical 9-to-5 where right. somebody is managing you. So I feel like that's a success in my world, where I have that freedom to go and do kind of not as I please, but when I want, and to make the choices that feel good. And it allows me to be more present in my relationship with my boyfriend and his kids. And it allows me to be able to go see a friend and have coffee, allows me to go and enjoy nature, which is so valuable and important to me. So success is different. It's not the bank account. And it's also who I affect. Like, I love getting testimonials when people work with me and seeing the change that they've felt, or, you know, that I have made a difference in their life, either through photography or through the book that I've written. So, it's just like touching people in a different way. Their lives are enriched by our connection. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
And you mentioned writing a book, and that's part of, you know, the entrepreneurial journey is very parallel to writing a book, you mm-hmm. know, because there's a whole process that goes into both that sometimes we don't see, a lot of times we don't see going into it. What was kind of the kick in the pants for the book and what you wrote about? What did you write about?
So Mind Body Soulmate is a book about my transformational journey. Basically what I just kind of expressed, leaving the corporate world and going into a whole new world of the unknown. And in doing so, I kind of left behind the belief system that my family placed on me, that society placed on me, that my friends, and I left to go figure out what my own voice was, you know, because I had all these thoughts and feelings and I never felt like I fit in. Mm-hmm. And when I left and I was able to do a lot of this work, I realized, like, wow, my beliefs are so different. Like, tuning into what my body feels and what I know is right for me was so different than what I was, you know, raised to believe. So that was a challenge. And it was a huge challenge, not only for myself, because it's kind of like you have to peel back layer by layer. And I use the analogy of peeling back an onion, except this is like a 1,000-layered onion. You know? It's not like 6 layers. And in doing so, I needed to reconnect with my own soul. You know, what is the depth of who I am? Ultimately, yes, I really wanted to meet somebody. And I realized, you know, I realized I'm the common denominator in all of my relationships. Mm-hmm. And so if the relationships weren't working, you know, what's the issue? And I'm like raising my hand, like, hey, I'm a part of that. Yeah. So what was it that I could do? And I wasn't me. I didn't even know who I was. And so I went on this path that was unfolding step by step. Wasn't planned. Not 1 ounce of it was planned. And it was a 5-year journey to kind of self-discovery. And the book was inside me from year one. You know, obviously, as the years go by, you develop new material, you have new insights, you have new growth. So as the 5 years went on, I'm just like, oh, I have got to write this down. I didn't keep a journal pretty much the entire time, which was sad because I would have had some really great material to add that I'm sure I forgot about. But I did end up meeting somebody, and I met somebody when I was in a place where I had just kind of said, like, screw it, I'm fine. I'm good by myself, and I know who I am, and I'm not going to bend backwards to please somebody and to be inauthentic. And so after I had met my current boyfriend, it was just like this place of surrender where it's like, oh, okay, now, like, it's not the ending of the story. It's just the end of that book because there'll be more. And so I just felt compelled when I was presented an opportunity to write the book. I wrote it through a company called the Authors Incubator, and they do a 9-week program. Mm-hmm. And you think about writing a book in 9 weeks is, you know, like,
that's daunting.
It is. It's totally daunting. And the reality is I wrote it in 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks, but but I still wrote it.
Not naming names.
But the whole process of getting to the book was, I didn't want it to be about a guy. I didn't want it to be about that I needed to meet somebody. But the reality is every single aspect of my journey was like, I want to be ready for a relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, I just didn't realize, I get emotional. I didn't realize that I needed the relationship with myself.
Yeah.
To be healthy and to feel good enough in a relationship that I really knew what I wanted and to stand for that. And when I, the day I met my boyfriend, he was enamored with my stories, and he wouldn't stop asking me questions to the point. And I'm like, can you talk a little bit? Like, I don't want to do all the talking. Like, I want to hear what you have to say. But he was so enamored with my story. And he's just like, you're the most interesting woman in the world. And he has it in his phone to this day. You know, the most interesting woman in the world is what pops up when I call. And that's not who I was before I began my journey. Mm-hmm. I was the most average, you know, and I wanted the experiences of life to be something that I can share with people. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know that. Like, before it was just about me. And now it's like the book is to help others, to really reach out and let them know there's so many other ways about going about life. And you don't have to be, you know, to me, I felt like I was stuck on a hamster wheel. Mm-hmm. And I felt like somebody just took a big old log and shoved it right in the hamster wheel. And I just flung off. Mm-hmm. Which was the best thing ever. And I want to be the stick in other people's hamster wheels where I just stop it. And I'm like, look, there's other ways. And that's what the book does, is it shares a lot of journal prompts at the end of each chapter of how you can, you know, step out of your norm, embrace the change, you know, understand that there are going to be roadblocks and bumps, and you're going to disappoint people. You know, there's a lot of joy to be had, but what is it that does bring you joy? Mm-hmm. There's a chapter called Embracing the Weird, because I kind of went into a lot of, like, what I would call the, you know, the conscious minded community can, mm-hmm. it's a little more on the woo woo side. And I love that. It's just who I am now. And I didn't know that's who I was, but when I found it, I'm like, oh, that's me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, letting a lot of stuff go, forgiving yourself, healing, And that takes time. And, you know, ultimately I want to be able to help people on that journey, mm-hmm. hold their hand, mentor them, coach them, create retreats around it, to really kind of catapult people into a new transition in life.
Mm-hmm. So the 5 years of creating this book, was also in tandem with your kind of your entrepreneurial journey. How mm-hmm. do you think that both sides help the other?
I think in healing myself and understanding who I am, is a huge aspect of being an entrepreneur. Validating my worth, validating my skills. There's a lot of photographers out there. They can take pretty pictures. I'm different in my own way. And, you know, I feel like I wouldn't be able to relate to people on the level and the scope that I do now without having done my own inner work. Mm-hmm. I was really good at picking apart my flaws and judging myself, but I would see the beauty in everybody else in what they would consider their flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you know, when people say, hey, can you Photoshop this? Can you Photoshop that? And I'm like, no, that's who you are. That's right. The beauty in all of this. And I really want to be able to help other people see that beauty. But had I not done my own inner work to find my own, then I wouldn't be able to share that with others. And I think it's all related,
mm-hmm.
Both with my photography and with the book.
Mm-hmm.
The book was a nice way to get all my thoughts down, but the ultimate goal is like, I can't keep this inside. Mm-hmm. Like, this is meant for other people. You know, this is to help other people who had no clue about where to even begin. And I've had a lot of people who've had some major, major transformational moments just in reading my story because they can relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
So
talk to me about your work, because I, truth be told, am aware of your work. You do great work. But I want the listeners to hear from a photographer's side, especially somebody with your ability to see through a different lens, you know, metaphorically saying, that they are beautiful exactly the way they are, and that they may not see it, but that's what their contribution to the world is being able to shine exactly who they are and where they are right now. So I'm kind of, yes, jumping ahead again, because this is what I want you to talk about, but I want you to talk about that coming from you, because it's very passionately a part of how you work, who you are, and really truly what you've discovered in your entrepreneurial journey. So where does that come from, and how did you learn to see it that way?
I think growing up, judgment on looks was huge.
Mm-hmm.
Value on looks was huge. And again, through my healing, finding self-love, it's not about the physical aspects. It's more about the inner, you know, the inner light that shines. And when I'm working with people, that's where I really want to get down to. It's like, what is the light on the inside that people relate to? And that comes out with feeling comfortable, feeling safe, being able to talk about things that perhaps, you know, it's always easy to talk to a stranger about the stuff that's going on in your life. I really like things to be an experience that's playful. And I can't even count the number of times that people have responded how healing doing a photo session is, because not only is it fun in the moment, but when they get the photos in return, they see a different side of themselves that they haven't seen before. I've had several women where they're just like, I'm not ready yet. I need to lose weight first. And, you know, I will when. And I'm like, why not now? what about you isn't good enough, you know, to do something now about it? Like, your people are responding to you in this moment. So why not showcase yourself for who you are? And I've had several people take me up on this. And when they see the results, they're like, oh my God, like, it's just powerful. And that gives them that feeling of confidence to really showcase who they are and to showcase, I call it working with inner and outer light. Mm-hmm. You know, when your inner light is sparkling, it shows on the outside, you know, and there's a different radiance that people will share. And I feel that clients are connected to that. Like, that's how people see you. Mm-hmm. And so when they see you, like, oh, that's you, that crinkle in your nose, that little, you know, squint in your eyes or the dimples when you're laughing. Like, to me, there's a lot of moody photographer out there that can be really beautiful. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But to me, I think real personality comes out in a laugh, mm-hmm. in a smile, you know? So when I can get people laughing, even if it's ridiculous laughter, it's still laughter. And that smile is what people connect with. Mm-hmm. They see a different side of people. So I'm really there to be a witness, to hold space, to make it an experience. It's not just about having a headshot. I want it to be fun and playful and ultimately make friends out of it. Like, I love clients as friends. Like, that's that's valuable to me. I don't like them to just come and go, you know. I like to be able to connect with them.
So do you end up interviewing, or not interviewing? I interview. do you end up photographing a lot of women entrepreneurs?
Yes. That's primarily my focus these days.
If you could kind of lump the biggest hurdle that you see them and help them overcome, what is that in working with you? Or, I mean, even having a conversation with you, because I know from experience that it's not just working with you. You're very transparent on who you are is who you are, and how you show up in a conversation is very much exactly how you show up and with ease inside of working with you. But what is a common stumbling block that you see in women entrepreneurs as you photograph them?
It could be, oddly enough, it could be just a mirror reflection, but I feel a lot of people don't value the process. So the financial aspect of it is something that they limit themselves because they don't feel that they're worth it. Mm-hmm. They don't feel that I'm not the highest, I'm not the lowest price point, but they come in and they price shop. And so a lot of times, if it doesn't meet the idea of what the number in their head is, that they don't feel that it's worth it. And it's an objection that I like to challenge people in terms of, you know, having that conversation, like, what does it mean to you? You know, and they're like, oh, I just need a picture for my LinkedIn profile. Okay, great. Another photographer can do that, no doubt. But if they are looking for something that is a little bit deeper, that conversation of price tends to go out the wayside. Or it brings up the stuff. It brings up the, like, why, I didn't think I was worth doing this. You know, it feels, you know, selfish or vain or something to put themselves mm-hmm. in front of the camera to really be seen. Mm-hmm. So I've had a lot of people who want to be visible but feel invisible. And mm-hmm. so there's also another little catch there where they really want to, but there's a trepidation behind being seen. Like, I would say the number one thing people say is the camera doesn't like me, you know?
Oh, wow.
So people are just judgmental about the way they look right off the bat. And that's, you know, the selfie, the selfie era. Everybody has to have, like, you know, the perfect angle, and they, you know, they're scared of really being visible for who they are.
Mm-hmm. What kind of transformation have you seen a lot of those women that you have those conversations and you guys overcome her objections or obstacles of her own self in order to work with you? And what is the transformation for them once they get that back? You touched on a little bit previously.
Yeah. There's one lady I'm thinking of in particular. We had talked on the phone before I was going to retreat, and at the retreat, we were going to do a private session. And she was so nervous, you know, of course, the camera doesn't like me was her biggest thing over and over. Her weight was an issue. You know, she just didn't feel worthy enough to be spending the money. Like, she had to ask her husband to do it, and she felt guilty about that. And when it got down to doing the photos and we're deciding outfits and, you know, we're getting into the process, she's doing her hair, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this whole weekend I've heard her talking about being a rebel. And I'm like, we've got to do something with being a rebel, you know? So getting to know my client is actually really important, because who they might portray, like, really quickly in a phone call, it might be different in mm-hmm. person when you get to know them. And we ended up doing the most fun, you know, session. And she's like, oh my God, this is totally me, you know? And we're talking about rebel. She's like jumping on the couch and, you know, standing on the kitchen counter. It wasn't like super rebellious, but it was enough that's right. What, you know? And she, when she saw her pictures, she was literally in tears. And she's like, I knew that person was inside of me. I haven't seen her in so long, you wow. know? And so that gives her the motivation and the confidence to really put herself out there. And I kid you not, gosh, I get emotional.
You're fine. It's totally fine.
She put like one photo out there with hundreds of likes and all of the comments. And I told her ahead of time, I'm like, are you prepared to have people, you know, give you compliments? Are you prepared to receive what's about to come to you? And she's like, I don't know if I am, you know? And she got so many beautiful compliments of just how people saw her. And it was something that she hadn't heard in a long time.
Because she didn't make space for it.
Yeah. And so it's amazing what a simple, professional, authentic looking photo can do in terms of being seen and create a new energy, basically a conversation, you know, it allows people, you know, and of course I'm thinking social media, but it creates a space where people are interested in what you're doing mm-hmm. again, mm-hmm. you know, because it's like, oh wow, there's this really amazing professional photo that looks fun, and like, well, what happened? I want to know what's going on.
Right. But many photographers, and you know, not downplaying the greatness of being a photographer, but many photographers can just snap pictures. Mm-hmm. Not all of them can show really the subject who's being photographed, who they are.
Right.
I mean, it takes someone to have gone through that journey themselves to be able to be that mirror for those women. Honestly. I mean, you know it because you walked it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had to be in love with yourself, but you are able to now be a beacon for women being able to accept themselves right now in the moment.
Yeah. And at that same retreat, there was another gal who taught a course called Mirror Work. And, you know, it's like being able to look in a mirror and say, I love you. I forgive you. I see you. You're valuable. You know, like saying these things over to yourself in the mirror. It's like a photo is that. Mm-hmm. It's like seeing that reflection and be like, wow, I see myself. I do see that crinkle in my nose. I do mm-hmm. see people, you know, seeing me when they give me a compliment. You know, like I was never able to receive a compliment. Mm-hmm. It was always a thank you, but. Mm-hmm. And now I can say thank you. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. You know, and just absorb it. Like there's nothing wrong with receiving a compliment and not feeling like you have to justify something else that isn't as right about you at the moment, you know?
Right. Or thanks, you know, but I got the shirt on sale at,
right.
You know, it had nothing to do with the shirt, you know, it had to do with the person, but yet that is definitely, a challenge I do believe women face in general though. And as we come through, you know, to where we are today in society, I believe that women, we're still in somewhat of a regressed stage of being in the spotlight. I think there's a lot, we've got a lot of talk on it and we've got a lot of, you know, thoughts starting to move that way, but, actions have to come up with it too. And I think photography is one of those very first steps that women need to be able to see themselves and accept themselves where they are right now, because if they don't, then they can't move forward. They're only holding their own progress back.
Right.
So,
yeah. And I've even done, more of like a boudoir session mm-hmm. as well for people. There was another retreat I went to in Morocco and the rooms were just phenomenal. And another one of the ladies wanted to do a private, you know, session and do a little bit more of a fun risque. It wasn't anything too bad, but it was sure. super fun. And another girl heard about it and she's like, oh, that's what I want to do. And so together, the two of them, we went on this little journey together. Like we, you know, they photographed together, we brought wine, you know, like we just had a fun time and they were able to, you know, express a different side of themselves that feels, you know, like forbidden, like we're not supposed to, you know, mm-hmm, or mm-hmm. over-sexualized, mm-hmm. you know, there's that balance. And like, how do I feel sexy about myself, without it being, you know, mm-hmm. feel, it just feels raw and vulnerable to place yourself in that situation. But when you do, and it's held in a space that is beautiful and complimentary and fun and, you know, really seeing you for who you are, you know, the women came out of that and saw their posts or pictures and they were just like, oh my God, that's what I look like, you know, because we don't see ourselves in that light.
Mm-hmm. And obviously and critiquing more than.
Yeah.
Reality shows.
Yeah. So there's other ways that I've helped women, not just with their business, but with just the personal side of feeling good and feeling special. And, you know, mm-hmm. and the other thing about photography is a lot of people, they'll do one session in their life. They're like, oh yeah, I had photos once. And it's like, we are seasonal beings, you know, yes. we change a lot. Every season we change. So I always feel it's fun and important, and I do it for myself, is to put myself out there and to be photographed, you know, often, not, mm-hmm. you know, but enough that I can see who I am and see that I'm changing. Like I'm seeing age, you know, and mm-hmm. I'm just embracing it, mm-hmm. you know, like, yep. There it is. I'm witnessing it right now. And mm-hmm. I'm just going to continue to do so. And I want to help other women do the same. And mm-hmm. men. I'm not just excluding
right.
the women, but, you know, they are probably 95% of my market.
So as for the book, you said that there may be more to come. Are you going to write about where your life has taken you since writing that book?
Yes. And I think there's still more to share about that journey. Mm-hmm. There's one section, this could be a whole other topic, but there's one section in there specifically on some work that I did that I would love to share more in detail. And it was working with plant medicines.
Mm, that's interesting.
Yeah. And it was nothing that I knew about. And so once I started that journey, and it was unbelievable, the healing that I had because of it. And I really would give thanks and blessings and all of that to the plant medicine healers. And, mm-hmm. And so I feel like there's a book around that, because it is unknown, and the stuff that is out there, it's very touristy now. And, mm-hmm. and I did it in a very respectful, you know, traditional way. Mm-hmm. And I really want people to see it for what the value is, but also to, you know, to be cautious of kind of how that road is leading, but to really understand that there are other ways of healing. I think we're so used to Western medicine. We're used to talk mm-hmm. therapies. We're used to drinking a glass of wine, suck it up, you know, and there's other alternatives. So that might be one. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah. Who knows, the journey from here to here, you know, there's other things that have happened in my life that I might want to talk about well.
And I mean, this is only a blip in the moment, you know, yeah. I mean, it evolves from here too. But how has the entrepreneurial journey changed you?
Whew, it's been a journey. You know, I think it's making me realize my strengths. It's making me humble to the things that I feel that are not my strengths. It's making me relate to other entrepreneurs in a whole different light. 90% of my friends are entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm just in a different club that I can relate to. The hardships, the bonuses, the, you know, being able to network in different groups has been amazing, in person as well as online, and just being able to share in the ups and downs and the beauties of being an entrepreneur. So, yeah, there's all the goods and there's all the challenges that go along with it. And I actually don't see myself doing it any other, you know, I see myself continuing to be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not shifting.
No.
No, you better not.
No, it's who I am. And I just don't see myself ever going back.
Nice.
Yeah.
So where can the audience find you?
I am on Facebook at Jennifer McNiven. My photography website is jennifermcniven.com. And my book is Mind, Body, Soulmate on Amazon Kindle. So
that's awesome.
Paperback to come out soon.
Yay.
Yay.
Ooh, the tangible is always fun.
Yep.
I want to thank you for coming on today and, you know, sharing your real raw journey with the listeners, because we often, so often in the world, and this is a platform for this podcast, but in the world of entrepreneurship, we hear all the good and the pretty and the successful and, you know, the page 50, you know, that we didn't see pages 1-49, you know, so we see all that, but I feel like it's time to highlight all of the stuff that is in pages 1-49. And I appreciate you for taking the time to talk about that and be vulnerable, because that, I mean, your journey is real and you were very transparent. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. All right, guys. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to check Jen's links and check her work, because not just for the fact of checking the work, but to see kind of what it looks like through a different lens, to see what people don't think that they see and what people don't think exists for them already, which actually already does. I had the pleasure of working with Jen and will work with her again in the future. But I was one of those people. I was one of those that, not today, when I lose more weight or when I get to this point or when I, maybe part of it was when I feel more successful or, you know, what is that? What are all those things? But it was a conversation that hadn't been presented to me before. And I can say from personal space that it was eye-opening. And so, Jen, I appreciate the work you do. And I know the, I know it comes through in everything you put out there. So thank you. And the book, Mind, Body, Soulmate, definitely check that out. Check out the reviews. It's got amazing reviews, but that journey is also who a lot of us are as well, loving ourselves. So, all right, guys, as always, keep moving it forward.
Thanks for listening to the FemNation podcast. Be sure to check out our show notes for more details from the episode. If you love the show, share it with a friend or drop me a note. I'd love to hear from you over at whitedovegannon.com or find me on social media. Until next time, keep moving forward.